James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, or by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no, or you will be condemned.
Father, we're asking that your light would shine into our hearts through your word. Yeah, help us all, including the preacher and the listeners, all of us, Lord, for your light to shine through this word. Yeah, we need you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the basic beliefs of Christians through the centuries has been that Christ will come again. And it's truly an amazing thought. Can you imagine it? Like, can you imagine that? Everything that we know now, just the way we live and our reality is going to be different when he comes. When he comes, it's going to be totally different. When he comes to bring history to an end, to renew all things. And this is the focus of this passage that Robert read for us from James 7. It's actually a very tender and gentle passage, asking us to have eyes that look to the coming of the Lord. Just before it, in the beginning of James chapter 5, it actually gives a message to other people that are expecting the Lord's coming, but for them, the Lord's coming is actually going to be terrible. I might even give you a bit of a glimpse, just touch on that, because it's a very severe message to those that don't love God. And listen to how strongly James speaks in verse 1. He says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the money, because of the misery that's coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, moths have eaten your clothes, gold and silver are corroded, etc." And it's a word against those who don't love God, that when he comes, I'm sorry to tell you this, but this is just what James tells us, it's going to be judgment. And he says it's going to be misery. Why? Because you've totally used your wealth for yourselves. You've oppressed others while you're here on earth. And the message is that the things that you totally love in this world will slip through your fingers and they won't be your joy anymore. Your wealth won't last. It says it's going to be rotted, and your clothes are eaten by moths, and even your gold and silver, which are inert metals, and you say will never corrode. It says, yeah, they're going to be gone. And do you know there is a danger for me and for you, honestly, that we would love the things in this world in a way that's dangerous, and it puts... Honestly, it's dangerous. Puts a love in our heart for things in this world that are dangerous. It says that you've hoarded your wealth in the last days. And it says it'll be these ones that the coming of the Lord is going to be dangerous for, that they use their power that money gives. You know how money gives you power? It says that you've used that power abusively, really. He says, you failed to pay your wages to your workers, those workers that have been working from hand to mouth, and they're depending on their wages to feed their families tonight. You didn't give them their wages, and you were selfish. You lived in luxury. And then this graphic image at the end of that first section where it says, you've fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. And I just think, wow, what an image that is. It's the images of a cow or a sheep or something eating and eating and eating until it gets fat enough. You know how when your cow's out in the paddock, they get fat enough and you say, okay, now's the time. Off you go. Well, it's the image here is that the Lord is saying that you just sort of so greedily gobbling up things on the earth that you don't even realize that it's going to lead to your destruction. That's the image that James is giving us. It's actually not wealth. I mean, you and I, we've all got wealth. Haven't we not? All of us in different ways. We own houses or cars or farms or something. But it's actually not wealth that's condemned, but it's the attitude that the way you gained the money or the bad heart and how you used it, God is really strong on. And for the coming of the Lord, for those people, going to be terrible. But then he turns to the believers who love the Lord and listen to how, in comparison, just how tender this is and how beautiful, because he says, be patient then, brothers and sisters. He's talking about brothers and sisters, those that love God. He says, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient. Stand firm because of the Lord's coming is near. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Just wait. Wait. When he comes, for you, because you are owned by him and because you belong to him and because you're everything to him, because of that, when he comes, it's going to be joy and it's going to be deliverance and it's salvation. And he's saying, look, to all of us for whom the miracle has happened, you know, there is a miracle that happens in people that love the Lord. It's a miracle, total miracle. Something changes in our hearts. I mean, it's amazing. When we hear of the death and the rising of Christ for us and for our salvation, all of a sudden, this world is not just everything we love anymore. We're just not just, oh, we just have to have that and have to have that. No, there's a miracle that happens that now we're looking for the Lord. Do you remember what Jesus says, that our treasures are not to be on earth? We're so tempted to do that. I am, aren't you? To have our treasures here on earth. And he's saying, no, no, no. Jesus says, don't do that. No. Store up your treasures in heaven. And there is a miracle that happens in every believer that this world is not your delight anymore, not your chief ultimate delight. And you're looking now. We can forget, I do, but James is saying, look expectantly for a greater treasure that's beyond this world, something really valuable, something really to be thankful for. Because I was speaking about this last Sunday in Wagga, and it was Mother's Day, I took the plunge of giving an illustration from my mum, actually, which I actually hesitate to give personal examples. But anyway, I'm going to give you this personal example from my mum as well. My mum right now is in Wagga, but she's in a nursing home and she can't move. I saw her 2 days ago. She can't move. She can't speak. She's all twisted up. She's got very severe dementia. And each time I see her, I pray with her and say, Lord, you'll know the time to take her. I think how easy it is for me with my physical wellness at the moment, my intellectual ability and my social connections and my financial capacity right now, how easy it is for me to trust God and praise God and honour God in one sense. But when I think about my mum and I think, well, she had her, and some of you have experienced much of this too, but she had her husband taken away. She, you know, young woman, everything, husband taken away. And then when I think that as she was aging, she had her farm taken away. And as time went on, she had her house taken away. And as time went on, she had a little dog that she loved taken away, stripped away. And then her body was taken away and she couldn't walk. And her mind, even her mind was taken away. And everything stripped now, all gone, all stripped. Everything in this world gone, even her mind gone. And over the years, I've asked her, Mum, do you still love Jesus? And she says, yes. And I think she's got the treasure. She's got the treasure. She's got everything that she would ever need. She's got the treasure. Everything else is taken. But she has the treasure. And there's an unexpected beauty. And there's an unexpected beauty in my mum's dementia. Because when everything else is stripped away, she's got the treasure. And she's still looking for the Lord. And her eyes are looking to the Lord. And James is saying, look, look, this world is not going to last. Oh, how easy it is just for us just to be so obsessed with everything in this earth. But James is saying, look, if you're a believer in the living Lord, look. He's coming. He's coming again. And he says, be patient. A lot of this is about patience. When he comes, it's going to be fantastic. And I know that you're suffering now. And I know that it's difficult now. And I know the pain that you're going through now. But be patient. Be patient for the coming of Christ. And have a look at the farmers. Look how patient they are. They put the crops in. So wait. And in those days, the food that you wanted to eat, you wanted to give your family that night for food is getting low, but you take a chunk of it, and what do? Chuck it in the ground. I mean, how crazy is that? You're supposed to eat it. But no, you put it in the ground, and you're waiting because you want to feed your family. And you're waiting for months and months, waiting for the rains, the early rains and the late rains. Come, rains, we need the rains. But at the end, harvest and rejoicing that it's come and now look at the harvest. And we waited and at the end. And so James is saying, and so with the coming of Christ, be patient when he comes. All the suffering, all the difficulty, all which was difficult and hard, all which just felt like you were going to crush you and you thought you couldn't go on. Be patient because when he comes, it'll be like the harvest and there'll be like rejoicing. And in waiting and in looking, we live differently now because our hope is somewhere else. We live differently now. He says, because the Lord's coming is near. I don't think some people say, oh, well, James got it wrong. He said the Lord's coming is near. But I don't think it means that he had to come soon, but that he could come at any time. And so it is now. And he says here, do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. He's saying, do not be, it seems to me he's saying, you know that word grumble? I just think grumble's not such a bad thing to do. I can have a little bit of a grumble. But James says, no, don't do that. And when I was thinking about it this morning, I was thinking, yeah, it was the people that grumbled against Moses, and it was the people that really grumbled against God, that the spies went out to check out the land, and they came back and they said, oh, I don't think we can do that, and they grumbled against God. And it was so serious, this grumbling, that he said, okay, well, you can stay in the wilderness for 40 years and perish. And so grumbling's a pretty big deal. And James says, do not grumble, brothers and sisters, because the judge is standing at the door. You'll be judge standing at the door. It's as though he's saying, look, the Lord's coming and he's the judge. And when he comes, we need to be ready to open the door for him and not be ashamed. Another example is the prophets. He says, brothers and sisters, an example of patience in the face of suffering. So he's talking about people that are suffering. And are we not suffering? Various of us in different ways. Brothers and sisters, an example of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And as you know, we count them blessed, those who have persevered. And you've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. So what James is saying, I'm going to give you an example of some godly people. They were the prophets. They loved God. They got a message from God, and the message was straight from God, and he gave it to the people, and the people hated the prophets and were attacking the prophets. Remember poor little Jeremiah, smashed from pillar to post? And yet he said, no, I'm going to keep talking, going to keep speaking about God, because I'm trusting that God will bring the harvest at the end. I'm trusting that it'll work out at the end. So James is not saying that this life will all be rose petals and lollipops. Not at all. Suffering. But we consider those prophets just kept going and kept going and kept going in the face of tremendous pain and hardship. And we consider them blessed. Why? Because they've come through the fire of hardship, and on the other side, here they are. They've remained faithful. And you think, wow, they didn't drop away. They kept going. They continued to believe. And we consider them at the end that they're blessed because they went through the suffering, because they went through the difficulty. We honor people who keep going. And so this is what I want to say to you this morning from James chapter 5. And it's a message to me as well. So not really, I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to you. Honestly, all of us, very seriously, we need to think about life in the light of the end of things. Not just in this world. We must think about our life now in the light of the end of things, in the light of the coming of Christ, what it'll be like when he comes. Because it's easy for us to be like that cow. We're just interested. You know what a cow's like? Just puts its head down and just sees a sweet bit of grass and gobbles up that little bit of grass. And then sees another little sweet bit of grass and gobbles up that. And then he just sort of walks around. That's how he goes, or she goes through life. Is just down, head down, and never, ever, ever looking up, as it were. And it's as though we can be like that. The world is like that, honestly, really, truly. We're like that. We just gobble this thing and gobble that thing and just concerned with this world, consuming whatever we can. And James is saying, look up. Will you look up? Will you? Just look up. The Lord is coming. And when he comes, What a glorious, magnificent, holy moment that will be, and everything will be different. And we need to be living differently now, because the Lord is coming totally differently now. We who have been touched by Christ, we've got a different love. We've got a love for God, and he is our delight. There has been a miracle that's been has happened in every Christian heart, where this world is not our home and our eyes are on a higher treasure. At the end here, James says, verse 11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I totally love that. Partly for my own soul, because I know I need both. Truly I do. I need the compassion of God, his love. And I also need his mercy. Do you know why? Because there's times where I deserve his judgment. But the word mercy means not getting what I deserve. He withholds. And I'm so, so thankful. You know, they are just so thankful for his compassion, but also his mercy, his great, great mercy. And I want to encourage you that compassion, he's full, it says, he's full of compassion and mercy towards us. We are to be a people for whom our treasure is in heaven, and we're looking above. Our treasure is our Lord himself. And that changes everything now, because we actually don't need to squeeze all our joy out of this world. We don't. Because our joy comes from heaven. And it's not long. James says it's not long. It's only a little minute. Do you know? I mean, I know that I'm 57. Some of you think that's very old. Some of you think that's very young. I'm 57. But I know my life is going to be gone. I'm just going to be gone. I was in the hotel, beautiful big area park hotel, looking at the photos, even this morning. Must have been those old cars with the, and I was thinking that must have been the 1920s. And those people in those, they're all gone. And it won't be long and I'll be gone. But I'll tell you what stands. The Lord. And the word of the Lord will stand forever, and our life will be gone. And so our treasure, though, is a glorious treasure. It's a gospel treasure that God gives us. And so we can, because of the miracle that God has done in us through Christ, we can live differently. And my encouragement this morning then is that we need to live our lives in the light of the end of things. Let me pray. Lord, I'm praying with these precious brothers and sisters, and Lord, we all stand, we'll one day stand before you, all of us, the preacher and all of us here, will just stand on level ground before you, and we will delight in your fullness of compassion and mercy towards us in Christ. Let us delight in that already, Lord, and let us live in ways. Please help us all, me too, Lord, to help us in ways to live in ways that make you our treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.